continue on at the barn, at the first barn after you're around the corner up the hill. It now belongs to the Rice. It used to be one of the fort farms, and the house burned there before my remembrance, but the barn is still used by Rice's for a heifer barn, I believe. And then farther up the road toward Route 40 is the barn to the Rice farm. On that side of the road, on the southerly side of the road. And as I said, I guess before, that was once owned by Horace McEachran for many years, and probably built bigger and improved some over the years, and it's now quite a sizable dairy barn there. So the Racers are still in the dairy business. So that brings us back to the corner of Route 40 once again. Then if you go north once again on 40, the next road on your route would be the Hedgeman Bridge Road, they call it now. When I was a young man, there was very little on the right-hand side of that road. And right now, there's the first house you encounter on that right-hand side of the road was owned by Earl and Phyllis Norton. She was formerly a librarian at the New York Central School. And she lived there until her death. And who lives in there now, I don't know. Come on around the corner, a little farther, is Conolliker. It was built there by Merrill Wren. Merrill Wren was one of the guys that was involved in the scrapyard across the road on Hedgeman Bridge Road in the old days. Who lives there now, I can't tell you. I think the next one there is a trailer type home. It was home to the home of Joe McDowell. That's probably wrong. Anyway, I don't know. Next place on the right, I believe, is the Harris Osberg residence. He built that house probably 25, 30 years ago, and he still lives there now. Then we encountered the Lux Hill Road turning to the right, and go up in there to the east, and the first place that used to belong to the Eldridge farm was used as a home for their hired man when I was a kid. But since they sold to Bob Gannon, Bob Gannon has a local cotton man in the area, has lived there for many years and still lives there. That's there you go. In the old days, to the town line, there was nothing more on the right-hand side. And you turn around, there's a dead-end road at this time. Come back, there's several new houses been built in there on the north side of the road. And the only one I know that lives there now is Tim Perkins, who works on the road here. And you see that down toward the hill was a farm there. It used to belong to a little family. Some of the Littles are doing it to them. They used to rent it out. And some years ago, Paul Mulligan bought it and lived in there and operated the horse business and some goats he used to raise there and things like that. But that house has since been torn down and the new house was built in its place. And that was a house Ronnie Perry house. He used to work at the Eldridge farm, Ronnie Perry did, and he lived there and that house, I think he built it. Later on, that was bought by Paul Mulligan after he retired from the farm. And he was the last one I knew lived in there, still occupied there, and he lives in there. So that takes us back once again to the Hedgeman Bridge Road. There's another new house or two in that stretch there to reach the bridge. And Crystal Polly lives in one of those. The other person I don't know. So then you take a turn onto the Bolson Road heading west. Right-hand side, the first house to come to was built by Ashley Sneller some 20 years ago or more. And the socks probably to him, there's two or three new houses in there. I don't know the people that live in them, but then he's out toward Route 40, and there's the building was built there by Ronald Sneller, a machinery building a few years ago. That's about the only thing on that side of the road. Then you reach Route 40, and then across the road, and there was a house there, a hill there, feed mill in Greenwich, and his helper at the mill, Ed Cox, used to live in there years ago, and since then it's been sold at some point to James Bala, who was a surveyor around here. And next on your right, right on that road, I think the turns there by the Orchard Drive and so forth. And the next place on your right was I knew it was Charles Jensen residence. He lived in there for many years, and since been sold to somebody else. And the last place on your right is the Charles Buckley place. Charlie built that house and lives there close to the bridge up there, Fort Miller Company. He's just had to walk to work from there. So then you turn around and come back towards the east, and there wasn't much of anything. There isn't yet. There's one house there, an older house that belonged to the Billings family. This is Billings, Mrs. May Billings, and Hart Billings, and Bill Billings. That was their homestead place in those days. So then we put it in some else lives in Germany. And the small house, as you probably throw it forward, was built by Clark Brothers when he was young, first married. So he lives in there now, I don't know. So we then go across Route 40 and back out to the east, and there's some new houses in there. That's probably crosses right on the corner. And there's two, three new houses in there. And turn and go back out to the Hedge and Bridge Road, and there's another buildings there. It used to be the old Marlin Wren and Reagan scrap yard there, but that's since all been cleaned up and put back into farming. And the other house on the Hedge and Bridge Road is a house built by a man named Radio, who's involved on the vegetable greenhouse business on Route 40. So that's the last end of that little corner of town. Just by nature of an amendment, I forgot the old Hand District Schoolhouse, which was between the Hand 10 house and the St. Mary house on the west side of Wilbur Avenue, some half a mile or so down from the junction of Route 29. I forgot that that was the old schoolhouse that was bought by someone. Lived in as a house for a while, and Herb Roberts bought it many years ago, and he tore the old building down and built his house there, and it's there now. Some of the lumber in this house that's built there now came out of the old schoolhouse. It's just as an aside. There's also a little road off Bilson Road, between Bilson Road and North 29. There's only one house on there. But the old days, it was owned by Ray Snell. Ray Snell worked on the railroad. He was a brother of Harold. He worked on the G&J Railroad for many years and probably retired from the railroad, but that was his house. He built it and lived in it. It's a small house, but still occupied maybe by some of the Snell family. So then we'll go across 29 onto what's known as the Windy Hill Road. That was a very sparsely settled road in the older days. It was known as the Orchard District, mostly apple trees out in there. But there was a few houses. You have to go up to some distance to the north. Right-hand side of the road is a house built by Henry Raymond Goldman. That's been there for many years, and just back some distance from the road. It's still occupied, and it's still a livable house, I believe. And the next thing to that was a house that was owned by the Lottie Bain and Stanley Bain in the old days. And I think that house, the original house, has been torn down, and there's several houses in there now. Then you go down the hill, you go down around the corner where the golf course is now and turn westerly. Still on the right-hand side of the road, at some distance, was a house still occupied. It used to belong to a man named Jip, I think James Thompson. That house is right across from the church pavilion on the south side of the road. So that's the only thing I know about that house. And there's another house down through Windy Hill there on the right-hand side also, which is still there and was a summer place for people for many years, including all my time. And then he went back around once again, heading to the south toward the end of the road, and there was a house on there. I believe it's still there. It was owned by John Rich for many years. He was in the scrap business. He took scrap from many places around here, and he made his living that way. And I think he's gone now, but someone else, I think, lives in that house. So and then that's the right-hand side of the road until you come to the Hogsback Road, and we'll have to turn around and come back. There were several buildings in there now, newer houses, and built in the interim time. And there would be nothing, only apple trees in my day on both sides of the road in that area. And then you have to come some distance across from the Henry Goldman place was a place built by one of his daughters and her husband. Their name was John Holmes, a small place that's still there. But the homes there now are too numerous to mention. If I knew anybody, saw a few people there, I wouldn't know their names anyway. It's also on that road now is the Windy Hill Sawmill. That's on the north side of the road, but before you reach the golf course from the westerly direction. But that's about all there was on the Windy Hill Road in those days. So now we'll take a ride down what is now on that Route 29, starting at the Middle Fall Bridge and continuing towards Scottsdale. On your right-hand side, immediately at the side of the bridge, was the Baton Hill Country Club lane. It's back there to the Baton Hill Country Club at the foot of the hill. That's been there since I was a boy, and it was formerly on land that was leased from the S&D Paper Company. Some few years ago here, they bought the property, Baton Hill Country Club. So then you cross the bridge and railroad bridge and come back toward the corner of 40, and the place on the right, which is now the Tony's Restaurant, was known as Baker's Tavern. It was probably a booze joint in the old days, and later on that was bought by Bob and Jerry Brown and turned it into a restaurant and ice cream place. Soft ice cream was the first place in this area had soft ice cream. So they ran that place for quite a few years, and was turned into just a plain restaurant some years ago, and had several owners before Tony, but that building's been there for quite a long time, I'm sure. Next on the right, heading towards Chicago, would be a place known to me as a Mark Burnham residence. Mark Burnham was a brother-in-law of Jerry Brown, and he worked at the Meadowview Park poultry farm and also raised chickens on that place. So that building's been there for quite a while. Then you go on down and that old Scalville Road used to be the main road. So when I was a kid, there was nothing there down. In fact, there's not much now, except the Washington County Fairgrounds lays to your right going along there. The main entrance is on the old Scalville Road, but the fairgrounds all lays there. That was built some 25 years ago. Before, previous to that, they had been on rented ground for some years when they lost the old Cambridge Fair. And they started building that fairgrounds there some probably 30 years ago or more. It's grown ever since. And then you went on down on that new road. And apparently must have been built across the orchards in the old days. And nothing was ever built there except the on the right-hand side, except the someplace else restaurant. That was probably built some 30 years ago back in the woods. And it's been off and on operated and just turned back to the name of someplace else and still operating as a restaurant. So from there to Scalville Bridge, there isn't anything on that road. And then we'll have to turn around and come back toward the east. And the first place you come to would be the Car Emporium. And that building there was built by John Slocum and Cy Saunders when they took over the Ford Tractor Agency from John Whiteside in Greenwich, and operated there for some little length of time, and then later on it was bought by Herb Robertson. And Herb Roberts, I believe, still owns that building. It's he operated a body shop in there for many years, and when he retired, Mary took it over and runs a car emporium there. So then next is an entrance to the Fort Miller Company. That's the backside of their property in there someplace. And they own a lot of acreage on the right, but there's no buildings there. They have some displays and stuff. But then you come on toward the east again, and there's the building that's, I don't know what the name of it is, but they make satellite dishes and sell those in there. And that's quite an extensive operation. Several people employed in there. And on the corner where the Wilbur Avenue Road takes off, there's a hand melon and produce stand that was built there some quite a little time ago and still operates every summer. The next on your right would have been the house that's now occupied by my Leona Bell. She and her husband, Bill Bell, have owned that for many years, and she still occupies it. Next to that would have been the building that was the Kenwood Cabins, the only motel in the area in those days. There was several cabins, there little small cabins around there. Still some of them there, I guess. I think the place is now owned by the Hands. It was one time owned by Foster Gielan for quite a few years. He was a local carpenter. But the Hands have bought it now, and they rent some of that space out, I do believe. So next to that, next house, that's there's the Howard Brown's car lot and small building in there. That little building was opened and built by Lou Collins. He used to sell steel buildings and farm equipment there, barn equipment. It's now been vacant for quite some time. Next on your right would have been the Ray Goman residence, and he bought that many years ago. I think the original owners was the Potter family. I remember a Potter girl that came to school and rode on the bus. I had to meet the bus at the corner of Route 29 and Route 40. That's been owned by Ray Goman for many years. He's worked for the telephone company about all his life after he got out of the service, and he still lives there. Next to that is the Hughes place that was owned by Pete Hughes. The man used to run the Shamrock Grill in Greenwich. That place has been owned by the Hugheses, and I think it's still occupied by his son, Pete Jr. That place has been occupied for many years by the Hughes family. So when you come back to Route 40, and around that bend now is the Baton Kill Veterinary Clinic. That used to be the site of the, one time George Baker, the man that ran the tavern on the corner, had a residence there, but it was later bought out by the Stiles Quarry. It was Stiles Quarry on your right, the next thing. It was known as Stiles Quarry. It had been bought several times, now owned by the Peckham Industries. That's their probably starts there and goes all the way down to the bridge. And their plant is now way down near the bridge, their blacktop plant and stone plant and so forth. So that's about all there was on Route 29 in the old days. We'll now take a ride down the old Scowlow Road, which was originally the Greenwich Scowlow Road. It starts right near the fairgrounds, and there's not many houses on that, a few, and never was. First place you come to was once a part of the orchard. I think that was the Brisbane Orchards there, with some apple buildings and stuff there. Eventually that house was bought by George and Stella Nanick, who had lived there for many years, and Stella still lives there, I believe, in that house, and they've turned that place partly over to a miniature golf course and stuff now. But they used to raise some vegetables and do some field crops, but never had a dairy farm there. So next on your right would be the place I would best know as John Meek residence. It was owned by other people in the old days. I can't remember their name, but some many years ago it was bought by John Meek and his wife Nancy when they were first married. And that was their residence, and he had his vet hospital there in the building in the back. And after he made his new office in, on the Argyle Road, he sold that place to Ken Luke. Ken Luke has owned it for many years now, but he still lives there. Then that's right down to the corner of the what they call now the Hogsback Road. There isn't much on that, so we'll take that like a right-hand fork and go down Hogsback. There isn't much of anything there except there's at the intersection, near the intersection where the road turns down towards Hollingsworth, Bolt Mill and the Windy Hill Road comes in. There's a house there. It was been there for many years. It used to be occupied by the Albertson family. And later it was bought by Jack and Phyllis that had a house on Dry Summit Road. Their house in Dry Summit Road burned up, and then they bought that place up there, Jack and Phyllis Edwards. They lived there for many years, since been sold to someone else. Just one other place on the right-hand side of that road going down towards Hollingsworth, Bolt's Mill is a house that was built maybe 30 years ago. I didn't know that person, so I'll take you on down to the Hollingsworth Bolt's Mill, and then we'll turn around and come back toward the old Scottville Road. And there's just one house on the corner that was built there just 10 years ago by a man who was the postmaster in Scottville, as far as I know. So that's the only house on there, so then we'll turn to right. On down towards the Scowl, though, and there's only one other house that I know of in there. It was built some years ago, but not too many, but the man that used to be the boss on the state road around here. That was his, like, a retirement home. It's been there for a few years. So then you would cross the County Road 113, also known as the River Road, and there was a few houses there, and heading down toward the bridge was two houses on the right, both of which I believe are still there. First one was occupied by Rena Remington in the old days, and I think her husband was deceased, and she lived there alone for many years, and who lives there now, I don't know. But then at that same time, Russell McDougall owned the second house on the right there from the County Road 113 down, and he's been dead for many years, and who lives there now, I don't know, but the house is still there. So that was the only thing on that side, the right-hand side of the road, so we'll have to turn around and come back. There's a house on the, right near the 29, coming back to the east, and that was at that time by, can't say that name right now, but the house still stands. It's been occupied for many years. There was another. Oh, I'm sorry, their name was Robbins, Dean Robbins. And the house next to it was there, just a few feet away, was a house that burned here 10 or 15 years ago. There's no longer anything there. And next on your right, heading east, would be the old I think it was Woodard Poultry Farm. And since that, all the poultry buildings have been torn down. It's now known as Hank's Bar. He runs a summertime bar there. This man named Hank Brown. So then you have to once again cross County 113 and go back up top of the old Scottville Road, windy road going uphill. You get top of the hill, and the first next place on the right was the old schoolhouse for that district. Now occupied a Mr. Stiles, who used to be a building inspector here in town. I forget his first name at this moment, but that was the old schoolhouse for that area. So then there's nothing else on that side of the road until you get back. There's a the buildings of the Washington County Fair on the right-hand side road and the main entrance on that road. There was a, when I was a kid, that one building was still there, is now used by a, as a storage building for the machinery and equipment by the Washington County Fair. When I was a kid, that was an apple storage building. That belonged to, I believe, the Tice Orchards when I was a young guy, but they since dug that. It was all banked up with dirt, and they've since removed that to down to level, but the building's still there, concrete bottom and just a roof on it, and that's their storage building there. So that pretty much completes the old Scowville Road. We'll next go down the River Road, or County Route 113, starting from north going south. On the western side of the road, the first thing there was, from the town of Greenwich line would be the Hollywood Horse and Volts Mill. That mill has been there for many years. When I was a boy, it was a Blandy Paper Company, but the Hollywood and Volts bought it many years ago. It's now been expanding quite rapidly. It's one of the few remaining paper companies in the whole area that seem to do well. So you come on south from there. Next was the thing on the right was the Francis Waltz Farm Barns. And just beyond the barns were a house that belongs to a separate piece of property, the owners of who I never knew very many times, but Mrs. Howard Doner lived in there at one time. And it's still owned and occupied by somebody. Next to that was a house that was, when I was a boy, that was the Ingalls residence. Gordon Ingalls and his wife lived there. And it was later sold to, I believe his name was Glenn Violet. And he married one of Francis Waltz's daughters, and they lived there after the Ingalls. And I think some of the Violet family still lives in the house. One of the Violets, who is a grandson of Francis Waltz, still operates the farm there. And next, south of that was the Monroe farm. A man and sister lived there. I think his name was, I'm sorry, but it escaped my mind right now. It's since been sold several times, and they're both gone, but the house is still there. There's some barns there, too. Some of those have been torn down. There was a small farm there. And next on south of that was the Ritter place, quite a historical place. It's still there. At one time, belonged to Mrs. Remington. Her name was Rena Remington, maybe. She owned it for quite some time, and then she sold it to Delbert Coffin. And it was owned by him, and the land still belongs to the Coffin family. The house has been sold to someone else now. It's one of the oldest houses around this area, I believe. So that takes us across the Route 29, heading south once again on the lower part of the River Road. First place was occupied by Joe Coffin. That was his right name, but everybody always called him Joe. I think his wife still lives there. And his father ran the farm. Next on the right, the buildings were mostly there on the right-hand side. That was Delbert Coffin's farm, and there used to be an extensive dairy and chicken operation there. Now it's pretty much, land has been taken over now by the Henderson farm. Elsie Coffin married Taylor Henderson, so that place now, the land is used by the Henderson farm on Wells Road. So, next south of there, you have to go quite a ways before you come to another house, and that's, the first place was in the old days owned by John Lanigan. He was one of the first employees on the county road system, John Lanigan was, and it's now owned by the Waltz family. Yeah, I've jumped a car or two. I guess the next place on your right would be the Wesley Coffin residence in the old days, and Wesley Coffin and his wife lived there for many years, and he farmed it, as long with being one of the best carpenters around this area, and probably the best, one of the best known carpenters there ever was. And he finally retired from farming and built a house on the Siles Ferry Road. So then the house was sold to Mrs. I believe her name is Pearson, and I think she still lives there. And her son, Mr. Shirley, can't remember his first name, built a house next door and has a sawmill woodworking operation there. That was a main building there was once owned by George Scott. He used to own those farms along there and farmed it and raised beef cattle. And he built that building, main building there, as a partly of a horse building. You had some, I believe, race horses too. That's and then that next place on the right would be the main building of one of those farms that was in the old days, a Vanderpool farm. They lived there in the early days, and then it was later purchased by George Scott, and so now it's the home of the Bellevue Nursery. I can't remember the name of the people that own it. They've owned it for some number of years. And the next on your right would be the Francis Flatley place, which sits back in a small lane closer to the river. That farm has been in the Flatley family, I guess, for many years. I think Francis's father had that farm before him, and Francis is gone now. I think his wife maybe still live in that house, but so that's the next place on your right. Then once again to the right, I skipped a little bit, is the Johnny Lanigan place, which is now occupied by the Walters family. They've owned it for quite a few years. And next to that is the Calmy place today, and that was the Pat Rogers farm. He was the father of Dr. Rogers in Greenwich and the father of Bill Rogers, who farmed across the way on River Road there. And he had a little small farm there. And I remember when he was getting to be an older man, he did a little bit of farm, but probably not too much. So now the Calmy family has some dairy operation there. Then next to that was the newer house that was built by Arnold and Jendick and his wife. As a second place, the place that they had in there originally was an old house. And after they lived there a short time, was torn down, and the newer house was built to take the place of that. There was a small farm there, and the farm has now been bought by Larry Wilbur, who lives on the other side of the road. And next to that, coming once again south, is the barn through the former Nulty place, still owned by James Nulty, I believe, but used by Cliff Wilbur as a heifer operation. And next to that, I'm going south, was my father-in-law's place, Horatio Monroe's, which sits down below the road a little bit of a driveway or long driveway in there. Horatio owned that farm for many years, and now it's all been sold off to the Nulty. It's part of the Nulty farm. And Mrs. Monroe, my mother-in-law, still lives there at about 90 years of age. But he used to farm it when he first came there, but his daddy was a mill worker, was a millwright in the United board and carton mill at Thompson before it was torn down. And next on right would be, there was a newer building being built there by James Nulty Jr. Then there's the old McDougal farm, which was one time owned by Gordon Wright, and his brother Gilbert lived in there for some years until he moved out. And there was, the house was sold to Bob Meter, who owned it for many years. He just died here a couple weeks ago. Bob Meter did. His wife still lives there. And that's just the farmhouse only. Maybe a barn behind it. That farm was also sold to the Nulty's. next on your right, we come to some of the buildings on the old Pierce or Frank Moy farm, some farm buildings on that right inside the road. Once again, proceeding south. Next thing we'd come to would be a lane leading back into what we call today the Deerfields property, which consists of several lots which are subdivided off and made originally a camp lot down there. Now there's several full-time residents that winterize those camps, and there's several full-time residents that live down in there. So, next on your right, I think from there down would be the Tubwater Rod and Gun Club in the lane, right along near the bank of the river, along the lane going back there. And right next to that, adjacent to that line fences, another lane going back to, there's two or three houses in there that land used to belong to Edward and Lefty, and he sold some original camp lots in there, but some of those houses have been turned into full-time residents. And that little area there too. So, and next thing south of that would be Ferry Lane. There's a house back in there, a log cabin built by Mrs. Chase many years ago when I was young. And Mrs. Chase uses only as a part-time residence. It was later bought by Wolf, so Bob Wolf Sr., we bought it originally. Bob Wolf Jr. still owns it. And rents that log cabin out. And right next to that, on the right-hand side, once again, was the farms of my mother's family, the Collie Farm, which have since all been torn down, but they were quite close to the road. That farm now belongs to Morris Dixon, which operates that farm in conjunction with his operation rather up the river road towards about 29. And you have to go down the road quite a ways. And next of all, the house that used to belong on the McCauley farm, the tenant house, or hired man's house, which is now occupied by the Bell Negroes. My aunt had owned it and used it as a retirement home for some years, and was later sold to Del Negroes. That's an old farmhouse, been fixed up and converted over. So then you go on down along the bank of the Hudson River, close to there is a house now occupied by Chester Wolf. Cliff Wolf. His brother Chester built it brand new many years ago, and he was shortly after that killed, so Cliff lives in there now. So that's the last place, and that's adjacent to Kidney Creek. Then on south of the Kidney Creek was a place known to me as a Canary Farm. The house and barns were there, an older house on there. It was later bought by Tony Bartolucci and lived in by him and his wife. That house there eventually burned, and there's now several camps in there, some full-time homes. Most of them have access through the road which used to be the farm, the Mary farm. And next on your right would have been the Rosie farms, which are that land on the Canary farm, most of it, and the two grocery farms were bought by Niagara Mohawk in probably 1960s. The building was top of the plant, so they got rid of the two farmsteads there. First one they came to was the John grocery residence. That was the father of the grocery family. That was a family homestead. That sat back in the lane some distance from the road. Except when he was there as well now, except the fence that Nymo built. Some buildings, newer buildings there. And the south part again was the Tom and Alec grocery farm. Alec was, when Tommy was there, from the farm they bought, that place was known to me as the McBride farm, but they bought it many years ago and they converted the house into a two-family house. They both lived there until now Nymo bought it out and tore it down. Next on your right would be, in those days, the Flatley thing. Just north of the Rick at Colonel Stoner's Road. That was the Bill and Ella Flatley farm. That was also bought by Niagara Mohawk. And the buildings there were destroyed some manner or other. And next to that, there's a little lane meeting back in there next to what is it called? Kellogg House. Some of the Flatley family built some houses back in there near the river. Something still lives there. Next to that would have been the old Spence Kellogg place. That was the former Herman Rager farm. The Spence Kellogg lived there for many years and was sold about the same time Nymo bought the property north of it to a real estate man named Love and Troy. And Beavy still owns it and rents that house out. It's an old house in the barns. The barn has burned up, I believe. It's been destroyed anyway, so. So next on, south of that would have been the Cantor place. It was a beautiful old brick house and still is. And Tony Cantor apparently bought that place. He had the place on Cranel's Corners Road first, and he bought that place and moved down there. So he farmed those two farms in conjunction with each other. And at his death, his daughter, Flossie and husband, ran it. And they sold it out to the Squires, who run a strawberry farm there, Riverview Farms, I believe they call it. They grow strawberries and some vegetables, and they do some corn crops, too. And next to that, south of that, is a house built back in the field there by Flossie Cantor when she retired, and they sold that place to the Squires. And I don't know who lives there now. Flossie is gone, I believe, and somebody else lives there now. So, next on the right is a bunch of buildings in there. They were originally summer camps, and most of them have been converted into a full-time residence now. The only people I know live there are John G. Ambro. He lives in one of those closest to the Rensselaer County line. And then there was a place there owned by Harry Wanko, which I believe maybe his widow still owns. And there was a place owned by John Nielsen, and then the place owned by Bernie Nocito, who ran a garage down on the side of the road near the river. And that brings us down to the county line going south on River Road, around 13. To turn around and go back to the north, the first place on the right, once again, the east side, was a family, the name of Welts lived in there, that was used as a tenant house for the farm that belonged to Frank Quackenbush, which was right across the county line. And now that house has been modernized, it's still there, and there's a new one been built near it. So, that's pretty much on the right-hand side of the road for quite some distance until you get up to the Wolf Farm north of Kidney Creek. That was a Wolf Farm. It was in the Wolf family for many years, and still is. It was the Love Wolf and her husband, Albert Sr. They had quite a large family, 8 or 10 children. And Robert Wolf was one of the sons of Albert, and Robert Wolf Jr. still owns a farm and I believe lives there. So then you come to Wright's Road corner. House on the corner of the road is the Wright family home. Been in the Wright family for generations, I believe. I might have mentioned that house in the on the other on the Wright Road itself, but it's there on that corner the house is. And next north of that would have been the house to the McCauley farm, my uncle's farm in the old days, and had been my grandfather's farm. He left his two sons to run the farm. He moved to down near the Borden farms years and years ago. So that was in the McCauley family until my aunt, Frieda McCauley, Adam's widow, sold that place to Delbert Coffin, eventually taken over by his son, Morris Dixon. Morris still owns it. Quite a big farm there. I think it was about 500 acres altogether. One of the biggest farms in Easton at that time. And once again, you go north. There wasn't anything there. You cross the corner of the Allen Waite or the Waite Road. And there's a couple newer houses in there, been built within the last 25 or 30 years. And one person that lives in there is Mr. Taylor. He had that house built, I believe. And next to that, fairly close, is a house now occupied by John Slocum. John and Kay Slocum live there. That house was built, I believe, by Cliff Marcellus, or had it built. So next you go north of there, next thing is the Stillwater Rod and Gun Club shooting range is on the right-hand side of the road. Right near that is some foundations yet, concrete foundations, which were the barns in those old days of the Wesley Maliski farm, which was later taken over by Eddie Maliski, had the farm on the Waite Road, and he operated as part of his farm. But the little foundations, I think those buildings all burned up some time back. So next north of that would have been is now the John Boyce house. There was a house there that when John bought it, had been damaged by fire, and it really wasn't, it was an old house, and eventually John tore it down and built a new house on about the same site. Next door to that is a house that John Boyce Jr. lives in. That was built in the 30 years ago.